and welcome to Chat Shit, Get Well, episode 19 with my love of my life, Blake Antrie.
That's the one thing that we need to talk about on, this podcast.
We'll talk over each other constantly because that's what our relationship's like. But today we're discussing interracial dating. Is that the correct term?
Yeah, interracial dating.
Interracial dating.
Dating of different races.
Yeah.
Two different races.
In 2024. So how it's changed from, you know, in the past, it was a little bit more, you know, challenging. But I think there's still challenges now in this day and age that people sometimes maybe aren't aware of.
Mm.
But obviously, I've noticed a few challenges that we've had along the way. But
what
I think I'm more...
You?
I'm more concerned about the age gap than I am concerned about people questioning the race difference. I'm more worried about them thinking I'm your mum sometimes than worried about, they're different races.
Yeah, because that's because I look young. And why do I look young? Because black don't crack.
Black don't crack. That's the truth. Honestly, it's the truth. Like your dad looks like your dad's what, 60 odd? And he looks like he's late 30s.
Yeah, he does. He looks young. He's all that skincare.
Yeah.
That's what we do. I think that's one thing that I've... You're good with your skincare, but I think I'm a
no,
bit...
No, I'm not. Don't lie.
Okay. There we go. I'm going to let you say that first. All right, then. So I think that's one thing that I've kind of, I say, not taught you, but shown you a bit more in terms of skincare, because we look after our skincare quite a lot.
Well, no, I've always moisturised my body. I've always used cocoa butter from an early age because the reason I use cocoa butter was because it's very good for stretch marks. And because I kept going from big, I've gone up and down in size quite a lot through my life. Cocoa butter is actually very good for reducing stretch marks. And I didn't have any stretch marks in my pregnancies because I used cocoa butter. So don't try and take the reward for that. Thanks very much. I thought you meant facial skincare routines. I don't have a face. I don't do facial like skincare, which is really bad. I wash my face and that's it.
Yeah, but how many times have I told you to use cocoa butter on your face?
Yeah, but I don't. The reason I don't is because I get oily skin and then I get spots, which I got one here right now from tanning the other day. Anyway, that's a bit boring, isn't it? Let's change it up.
So what have you experienced then in terms of being in interrelational relationship with me? In terms of challenges?
I think the challenge is not respecting culture in a non, like, not meaning to disrespect, but also just being around a different culture is like challenging because obviously meeting your dad, being Ghanaian, and his morals are different to what my parents' morals are, especially in terms of education and career, and he's quite... he's quite strict.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you were like, oh, don't swear in front of my dad and stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, I don't know how I'm going to keep the F's in. Do you know what I mean? I'm sitting there. I mean, the first time I met him, I was literally like I just didn't know what to say. I was I feel really uncomfortable. And so upbringings were slightly different, but quite the same in some ways. But obviously your parents quite strict in, say your parent, your dad was quite strict in terms of education and career and stuff like that, whereas my parents weren't.
Yeah.
And our conversation was more difficult when I first met him because of I didn't really fit into the box of where I felt I needed to be. But actually, after a little while, it felt a lot less like pressured and a lot less professional and serious every time I met him. But yeah, I think, understanding and not want to offend or say something that would make you or your family feel uncomfortable in certain ways like that. But yeah, that's it really, probably at the beginning.
Yeah, a lot of things that kind of like come from, especially my generation are like we're like the second generation. So where our parents came from Africa, they're still like stuck in their ways. So it's taken them a long time to get out of those ways. Luckily my dad now has got out of those ways, but from when we first met, he was still stuck in those ways. So that obviously transferred onto me, which then transferred onto you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now it's a lot more relaxed. And I think that's because he's had like relationships with more women. More white women. So they've taught him sort of like the way, so to speak. Even though he's still a little bit strict, don't get me wrong, but Yeah, there's still certain
things. It's a lot more chilled out. Yeah. It's a lot more like, what's the word? Westernized.
Yeah, he's definitely been westernized, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when we first met, we met on like mutual, like we just met in the gym, like we're chatting and stuff like that. And I think like one of the first conversations we had was about food. So
food and music.
Mostly that, yeah, food and music was how we connected through like just talking about like cooking and stuff like that and like jollof. And you're like, oh my God, I know, you know what jollof is. And I was like, yeah, I know what jollof is. Like I grew up with a family. I was in a shared house. He used to cook for us and I love that food and I love trying different foods from like different cultures anyway. And that's pretty much how we hit it off was from the Afrobeats and jollof. That's that how
and curry goat.
And curry goat, yeah.
Because I think that's one thing.
Stew as well. The stew, most, I think the stew, I love stew.
But that's, I think that's another thing. Like from coming from like my culture, I think, I don't want to vouch for like all black people, but when they get into a relationship with a white lady, one of the things that they're probably like a bit like hesitant to sort of like introduce is our food. Because don't get me wrong, our food, it does smell, innit? Do you know what I mean? You lot eat a lot of beige food.
Yeah,
majority.
We eat very, like,
do you know what I mean? So it don't really smell that much. Yeah.
Waffles.
Yeah, so it don't
But
really...
I've always ate very like spicy food. I've always cooked, even my dad when I was a kid, like we had a lot of curries. Not necessarily African food, but obviously when I left home, I was living with some African people and, you know, I tried their food and I used to sit there and watch them cook and stuff like that. And so I already had that experience. And then we went and had some like African food together, didn't we, from there?
Oh yeah, we sat in the park, innit?
Yeah, we sat at the park. Was it in lockdown?
It was during lockdown.
Yeah.
Lockdown was dangerous for both of us because we just ate curry goat all the time.
Curry goat, we made brownies. So we got a bit of the English in.
Yeah.
Bought in that, and then Blake like soon learned how to have like some English food.
Chips and baked beans.
No, shut up, I don't cook like that. I don't even cook like that. I don't even think what I cook, chili?
No, to be fair, English? You're not really good at cooking pizzas, are you?
I'm not good at cooking easy food. I can't cook the ones where you put them in the oven and you got to go back in 20 minutes because 20 minutes I've done 10 different things. I've forgot this in the oven. I have to be consistently cooking the whole way through the meal.
Think about the flavours.
Unless it's a slow cooker and then I can bugger off, go back and it's just perfect. It always come back and it's perfect with a slow cooker.
How would you compare being in a relationship with someone that was white compared to obviously me now? How would you compare that? Is there any sort of like differences that you've noticed? Awkward silence.
No, I don't think it's about when being black or white. It's about the person, isn't it? I can only compare on those two different personalities, not just because of their... I mean, I think if you were heavily into like culture and you're heavily into religion or something like that, then that would have made a difference, but you're not. You're quite relaxed and stuff. So that might have been a challenge, but I wouldn't say... Yeah, I wouldn't say it was an issue. And I mean...
Not issue. No, I'm not saying issues. I'm saying more sort of like... Just like day in, day out kind of things, isn't it? Just like day in, day out.
Yeah, no, but I think your routines and the things that you do aren't necessarily about because you're black. You have a lot of routines just because you have routines and that pisses me off regardless. It's not because you're a black man or whatever.
I have to get up at 5 o'clock to make sure I get to the gym at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I think for me, it was just more like fitting in with the family and being able to, like, because I've never really been around, never been in
an interracial relationship.
I've never, ever been in one. So fitting in with the family and not coming across as, offensive or too common or too chavvy or something like that. That was my biggest worry. We've got through, there's never been a struggle for us, I don't think.
No, it's not really been a struggle. To be fair, I think I've appreciated the fact that how open you are. Because like I said, I think one of the things that made me fall in love with you was like the food and the music.
The food and the music was
the one that sort of like got me to fall in love with you.
Yeah, and you know, you were saying like about the food being like offensive and like people not understanding, because when you're at work or whatever, and you might have like someone from a different culture and they'll bring food in and it's like, oh my God, that stinks. I put it in the microwave, like fish, like the fish stews and stuff. I used to cook the mackerel stews before I met you. I was cooking mackerel stews and I absolutely loved them. And so I understood that obviously this, it smells like it's different, especially if you're English and not used to those strong like spices and the palm oil and things like that and the colours and, you know, stuff like that. But obviously I'd always already been like cooking that sort of food myself anyway. So I wasn't really like taken back by it. But the kids say things sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, the kids say
things. The kids say things. And that's the thing, like obviously
I think that's what, and it can be a little... I don't find it offensive.
He's like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Because obviously I think probably when you're at school, as like being a black kid school in a, you know, predominantly white area and you're taking food like that into school and you're like worried about the smells of the food, like that must be a challenge for any child really, from any culture.
I think it's not... I don't think it's all black culture. I think it's mainly like the Western African culture. Because if you think about like curry goat and things like that, that's been westernized a lot.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it's not even curry goat, is it?
Yeah. So exactly, it's not even curry goat anymore. It's goat curry. But in terms of our foods, like what we cook strong foods. So we're very.
You know, someone that works in videography, you're not great at keeping your face.
I'm a photographer, not a videographer. I'm a photographer. Okay, I'm both.
Can you come closer to the microwave?
I'll go closer to the microwave.
It's because we're talking about food. I think microwaves now.
Yeah. So in terms of like, because obviously we've got interracial relationships from, you know, me being African, but then obviously you've got people from Jamaica and things like that.
Your mum's English and your dad's Ghanaian.
Yeah.
So you've got a good culture mix anyway, growing up with obviously a difference between your mum and your dad's lifestyles merging together, but you never got to have waffle and beans.
You know, I didn't know what that is. That's because my mum was good in the sense that she would actually try and cook the food.
Okay. So she cooked a lot.
Just making a little bit of a hint.
Yeah. Ha.
Just making a little bit. Do you think you could cook for food? If you give it a go.
I could cook it. I just don't want to eat it because I don't like the texture, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's why I don't bring
it
home.
That's why
I never bring it home, because I know you don't like this. You don't really like the smell as such.
I don't mind the smell. It's just more the taste for me.
Oh, it's more the
textures.
Taste.
Yeah, textures. I'm not a fan on textures. But what one thing I was going to talk about was, I've forgotten what I was going to talk about. It was about... Our children. I've got two white children and we don't have any children together. And I know, I keep, you know, when we're in situations where we're out having dinner and stuff like that, we never sort of have that moment where someone will accidentally say, oh, is that your dad? Or daddy, you know, daddy will sort this out. Like there's never that mistake of like, that's not your dad, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that's my dad was lucky in that. My dad was lucky in that sense, because obviously Lucas and Stella, they're mixed race. So when he met my mum, everyone thought that they were his kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, they're mixed race. But I think where Kendrick and Bo, they're very, very white, innit?
They're very
white. So you're not really going to make that mistake from thinking that I'm their dad.
Yeah, no.
Maybe Kendrick, though. Because Kendrick's quite tan.
Yeah, Kendrick's, we need to do a genetic test on their dad, because their dad's definitely got something.
Yeah. So Bo's definitely yours and Taz's.
Yeah, Bo's more like me. She's very, very, very white.
You're not that white though.
Well, that's fake tan, babe.
And makeup.
Yeah.
If you wear makeup.
So, that's what I was going to say. One thing I'll say that I've noticed is when we go up north.
Peak District,
Scotland. Where else were we? We went to a foreign country once and there was literally no black people. Like none. None. Like the Peak District's one of them. Scotland is another. There's no black people there. So I noticed that when we went away, people were looking over and they were like, as if like, you know, there was some sort of like freak show going on.
A moment of acknowledgement.
And I was like, they do exist. Yeah, they're existing. So yeah, I know, like I felt like not uncomfortable. I just thought it was funny that everyone kept sort of looking over and... Yeah,
it's because for us, I think it's quite nice to sort of like being in an area where, not that we feel left out, but it's just nice to know that we can kind of like fit in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So especially when you see like another sort of like interracial relationship, when you go to a predominantly white area, I am always sort of like given.
Yeah, you say hello to every black person.
I say hello to every black person.
Yeah, if we go out and there's a very sparse area, well, to be fair, you do it all the time anyway, but when we're in a very sparse area and we're out, like hiking or something. He's like, all right, brother. And the other guy's like, we're the only ones here, mate. We know it.
Giving that universal nod.
You've got about 30 miles before you see the next black person. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Sorry, I just had a message come through.
Not from my dad yet.
No, not from my dad.
Why don't we call him?
No, let's not call him. What else is there you were talking about with this? Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
What?
I'm nervous.
Are you nervous?
I'm getting camera shy. I'm getting
it's
very
fine.
There's
nothing to worry about. Yeah, so that's one of the... I think there's a lot less taboo, obviously, you know, as we're getting more and more like mixed in like society with, you know, everyone's just becoming more as one human race and not as a separate race.
One of the things, actually, you know what? One thing that I've heard that white girls like experience with being in a interracial relationship is they get a lot of like hate from other black girls. Have you ever experienced that before?
No.
No.
But I do think that that's prevalent in schools more than it is in like in a younger community, because I have heard that sort of thing happening in schools. Mm. I think I was probably more worried about what your sisters would think of me than your dad, because I was more concerned of, is there going to be that standoffish sort of, there's he's with a white girl. Mm. But obviously they were very, very lovely and very accommodating, lovely, lovely people and really nice.
Who's your favourite sister? He's your favourite sister.
Don't
go on.
Say that. I can't.
He's your favourite sister.
Pick. They're just too great. I'm not saying any names. Stella. I'm not saying any names.
Sophia.
I'm not saying any names.
What letter does it start with?
I'm not saying any names.
And who's your favourite brother out of my two brothers?
Lucas.
Lucas. The fit one. The tall, fit one.
It's not about that. I mean, you are all very different shapes and sizes, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Blake comes from a five-child family. Is it five?
Five-child family.
Six. And in total, with your brothers, it's six, isn't
no,
it?
It's five altogether. Oh, no, sorry, because I've got Sophia. No, I'm thinking about my mum. It's my mum's fault.
Yeah, your mum's...
She's got five kids with four different black men.
Yeah, she couldn't get enough.
No, she couldn't. Once black, you can't go back, right?
That's what I've heard. So I'm screwed and I have to stay with you.
you're not leaving me, babe. You're here. You're trapped.
Till the end of time. For me, it's never really been a problem. But I think when I was younger, I grew up in my dad isn't racist. My mum's partner was racist. So I grew up thinking and not really looking at black men as an option, because I wasn't racist myself, but I'd always been sort of taught that's not where the route that you would go down as a white woman. So I didn't ever really look at black men in that way. And then obviously when we met, it was on like more of like a friendship vibe, wasn't it?
Definitely friendship.
So yeah, and then we soon started like obviously getting to know each other more, and I wouldn't say, and that's the thing. I've always enjoyed black culture, so I've always enjoyed the food. I've always enjoyed like R&B. I've always enjoyed hip hop. I've enjoyed massively Afrobeats, like hugely. So it sort of makes sense, really. I suppose that it just found my way into this relationship.
But I think,
no, I can't get out.
Yeah, but I think you've had one situation where you was quite uncomfortable.
Oh, when we went to Afro Nation.
When you went Afro Nation.
Oh my God, I was literally Afro Nation. We went to Portugal, didn't we? And I was so looking forward to it. And I really, really, really was, you know, hyped up for it. But I was literally one, I think there was thousands of people there, wasn't there? And there was probably about 10 white women. I did feel very, very intimidated.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I've seen you.
I left early because I didn't feel like I could dance, because I felt like I was going to get judged.
You got hips though, babe.
Everyone knew how to dance. And I was like, do I join in or am I going to look like that really shit white dancer in the room? So I was like, I don't want to dance. And then I was like, the second thing was just because there was a lot of people from different areas. There's people from like America, Australia, or like Nigeria, like they'd come from all over the world. And some of them were wearing bloody
Bloods and Cribs.
They had like Bloods and Crips, and they had like balaclavas on, and I was like, oh my God, I was like, I'm so intimidated right now. And yeah, I did feel very uncomfortable at that. And then even we didn't even go to the third day, did we?
No, we didn't.
We were just like,
I think that was the first time I've seen you
intimidated. Yeah, never get intimidated.
It was quite upsetting though, because I know that black people, I'm not saying it's like a race thing or anything like that, but in that sort of like situation, you had like no reason to be upset.
Yeah.
Well, not upset. I'm not saying I'm so sorry. I'm upset. Intimidated. Yeah. Because when there's music and black people, there's so much fun. The celebration is unreal.
I don't even know if it was. Yeah. I don't suppose. It wasn't rational. It was just like it was just a bit of a fear. Mm. I did feel uncomfortable. But do you think because you're mixed race, do you feel like you fit in with like both communities better? Do you feel like you fit into the middle of it? Like you can be with, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel,
because your mum's white, your dad's black,
honestly speaking, I thought I have to, I feel when I'm around more white people, I have to put on more like a facade.
Facade.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I feel like I put on like a bit more of a front around white people, because I just feel there's always going to be a little bit of a stigma that obviously I'm mixed race, black, if you want, whatever you want to say. But I have to put on more of a front around sort of like white people. But
yeah. When you're around your brothers and stuff, your black brother, when you're around your brothers, you are like a different version sort of thing. You're a lot more like relaxed and like
more chilled,
joking around and stuff. Like, yeah, I think that is true, to be fair. It's weird how you have these little hold-ups. I feel like I'm sat like this. Am I sat like this? Because I feel like I am, and I don't want to sit on a seat like that.
I thought Stuart used to have him like this. Can I do this?
Yeah, you can move it around how you want. It's fine.
What do I do?
Not that.
Yeah, I think that's better.
So what's it like living with me, babe?
Was I like living with you?
Yeah.
Headache.
Why?
No, I'm joking. No, it's not a headache. No, do you know, I've told you loads. Living with you, I think, I feel very relaxed when I living with you.
Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't feel so fucking relaxed.
Why?
Then I won't have to pick up your bloody crap you leave everywhere.
Yeah, but when you know that, when I leave crap, you know that I'm relaxed though.
So I've got to be grateful.
Always got to be grateful. Yeah, no, I love it. Don't get me wrong, there's challenges. There's always going to be challenges, do you know what I mean?
Relationship, isn't there?
But yeah, no, I love living with you, babe. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah.
Wouldn't change it for anything. What about you? Do you love living with me? What's the most annoying thing that I do?
You're absolutely, your routines, really, they piss me off.
I get it
because I'm very unorganized and I need routine, and your routine allows me to have makes me have a routine, because I have to go by you're getting up out of bed and I wake up early anyway, but you're like driven by routine.
I'm more relaxed now though.
More relaxed.
When we first met, this was a genuine thing. When we first met, I used to get home from the gym and I used to have to, sorry, microphone issues again. I used to iron my clothes at night, used to cook my food at night and then go straight to bed. And T used to hate that.
No, the thing is, because we didn't live together at this point, he would go to me, right, I'll give you a call after work. That call wouldn't happen. And then he would be like, oh, this is at 8:30, yeah? Just getting into bed, I'll give you a call. He'd call me at 8:30, and then he'd be like, right, I'm going to sleep. I'm thinking in my head, bullshit, are you going to sleep? You're going to someone else's house, right? No man is going to sleep at 8:30 at night, yeah? He's definitely out doing things he shouldn't be, yeah? So I was like, this guy's a dirt bag. He's up to no good. No, turns out he literally genuinely goes to sleep at 8:30.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah, we're up to like probably 9:30 now.
You're the one that's sleeping for me now.
I know, I fall asleep very
early. Tables have turned, innit?
It is, yeah. That's what I mean. I've fallen into your routine now, and we get up at like 5:00 in the morning. And even like today and Sunday, I could have slept.
But that
in
all comes from my dad, though.
Yeah.
Because when I was at school, every single Sunday, I used to pull us my shoes.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Your routines were taking over your life. So when we first met, there was no time for a relationship because it was like work, come home, iron clothes, prep food, do this, do that, go to bed. And that routine was just so strict, you just couldn't break it. And I was like, we either need to like work out a way to fit me into this routine, or we're just going to call it a day because it's not working. And obviously when we moved in together, that was better because we got more time together because I could fit myself in around the routines. Mm. But it was definitely a challenge at the beginning. It was definitely like a massive headache for me. And the arguing, you know, the little bickering. Because
you
like the spontaneous.
I
like spontaneous. Like spontaneous. I like to wake up in the morning and go, right, let's go peek this shit today.
I can't stand that.
Yeah, and you don't like it.
Yeah, it makes me on edge.
Yeah, you. I kind of like living on anxiety. I kind of like not knowing what's around the corner sometimes. And I kind of like waking up and going, right, let's just do this today. Let's just see how it goes. Or I'll be like, I'll be like, right, I'm booking a holiday at the weekend. And that's what I'll do. I like to do that sort of stuff.
So you like
Whereas
to book, like
Blake
a book
needs
holiday.
To plan it like 3 years ahead.
Well, we are going to Ibiza in 4 months.
Yeah, but I know.
And that's been, and
that's spontaneous for you, but I'm saying
that's not that spontaneous because that's still planned ahead though, isn't it? You booked IB for last time a week ahead.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to live on the edge. I like to just go and do things spontaneously and like not think of the repercussions, and which has been massively damaging in my whole life because I've done that a hell of a lot. And sometimes now I need to like, it's a good balance because you've come along and been like, actually, you have to think things through. Whatever, I don't want to think things through. I just want to do them.
Going back to music. There's a song.
Microphone.
There's a song. There's a lot of songs that you played to me. I have no idea what they are. What's that one song that you played to me before?
What song that you don't know what it is?
Yeah, you played a lot of like white songs. But there's one.
Queen.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, this is a thing. Yeah, music. He doesn't, right. Well, his mum's white, right? So I'm thinking he's going to know some white music. But he doesn't even know who Queen is. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche.
Can you see the fandango?
Can you see the fandango? And he sounds like a deaf person when he sings it as well. It's not too bad if he's singing Afrobeats, you can kind of get along with what he's getting at. But when he sings any sort of white person music, it sounds like he's got two hearing aids in.
Yeah. Don't <Dump it. laughs> Cut it out.
Yeah.
Cut that out. Stuart, cut it out. Ad break.
Yeah. And also Madness. I had to take you through like a little playlist.
No, but
Madness.
I quite like Madness though.
You do like Madness.
Yeah, because they're quite joyful and I'm quite joyful, innit?
I mean, white people are joyful, babe. Yeah, white
music but it's different joyful though, innit? It's different.
But you like a little bit of country, don't you? That's quite a white dominated genre.
I like one song.
You like one song?
One song
a little bit.
Country.
I said a little bit, didn't I? A little bit. But I had to take you through, who else is there?
The pub life. That's
just all of the pub life is one.
Yeah, the pub life is one. When we first met, you started taking me to Haley's Comet. Everyone go there. It's a nice pub, by the way.
Comet.
Yeah, big up Haley's Comet. Free advertising, free drinks. when we first started going there, I don't think I told you this, but I was quite sort of reluctant to go there because I'm not really used to that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's a very...
And it's a very different vibe. It's different just sort of like going to African parties. Or like African sort of like gatherings where going to a pub.
Yeah,
going to a pub it was challenging at the start because I didn't know how to behave.
Really? So I've grown up in pubs with my dad. My dad's been a pub drinker his whole life. So I'm very comfortable. And that pub I've been in for like 15 years. So I go in there and we know everyone.
And everyone's saying hi to her. And I'm thinking, who the hell is that? Who's this?
It is predominantly white. I wouldn't even look at it in that way. But it is mixed. But it's predominantly
mixed.
A white place. There's a lot of white old men that drink in there that know my dad and we've worked with him or whatever. So I go in there, I have a drink, we have a chat to everyone. How are you? You go over, you do your normal little small talk. He doesn't know how to do small talk. So he's like, sat there and now everyone's like, your boyfriend's a right moody bastard and he's a miserable bastard. I'm like, I'm like, he is being a bit weird, but I don't know why. And he's like, it turns out Blake just literally doesn't know how to have pub talk.
I don't know how to have pub talk.
I get this, but yeah, Blake I get in any other situation outside of the pub talks to absolutely anyone. He's like got no social boundaries. You will go up and you will talk to anyone in any environment other than in the pub.
But now I do though, because I've adapted.
Yeah, and the everyone's like, it's one of us now. You know, as they do, because we're all inbreds around there. They're like, one of us, one of us. But if we go out to, where did we go? Went to the theatre, didn't we, on Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like talking to the person next to us, like having a little chat. Like,
I think I called someone, someone's had a beard.
Sultan.
No, the guy with a beard that was sitting next to us. Like a little twisty beard. I called him...
The bad guy.
The bad guy, yeah.
Out of Aladdin.
What's his name?
Sultan. The Sultan or something.
Oh, is that Jafar, his name? Jafar. There we go. It. Yeah, I called him that.
Yeah, so he will just talk
I have
to
no
anyone.
Social boundaries.
No, he doesn't, which
I
is
I think
great.
I had a whole day yesterday of offending people, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, you did have a day. Yeah, he does like to do things. And the thing is as well, sometimes because you are so open to talk to anybody in any situation, sometimes people take it wrong because Blake is quite a big lad. You know, he looks the part. I think he looks a part, but some people take it across as sarcasm and they think he's being like a dick and they're like, they'll look at him like, why are you saying that? He will literally be pulling, like doing like a dad joke. Blake will do like a dad joke, but then someone will be like, what? Like thinking that he's trying to be like sarcastic. And there's been a couple of situations I've had to diffuse it and be like, come on, babe, like leave him. Like, and he hasn't quite read the room properly. And I'm like, ah!
You're good at diffusing, but I'm good at igniting.
Oh, well, yeah, you're not good in the chicken. Well, you've recently
you're not good
been
in
the
chicken.
In the
you're
chicken
not
shop.
Good. Hang on, wait. Why am I not good in the chicken shop? Yeah,
I'll give you Jews the right. I do have quite a few rows in the chicken shop. I have been known to be pissed off in the chicken shop, and I like chicken. We go to eat chicken quite a lot, don't we? Different chicken shops, but. I have had a few altercations in chicken shops, and the most recent one, you actually took charge, didn't you?
Was you proud?
Oh, I was horny.
Is it?
I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh yeah, you tell them, babe. Tell them we don't want those ribs because they're dry and they're overcooked, motherfucker.
Because the first time that happened, I think I was quite relaxed, didn't it? I was quite chilled.
Yeah,
bit too
you was
chilled.
A bit like, what's going on? Why is Terry acting like this? Because I'm one of those women and I'm a freaking nightmare. So why don't
angry
go
white girl.
I don't go out to eat much anymore because if I do, I get really disappointed by the level of the food because I know how well we can cook. So when we go out for food and it's not up to par, it pisses me off because I think I could have probably cooked that for £12 at home. But and I paid like 65 quid for it. And it's shit and the service is shit. And I'm like, I get pissed off. So most of the chicken shop arguments have been because my food's cold. And I'm not a rude person. I'm not a rude person. I will say to them, this is cold. Can you like change it? But then however, if they refuse, which most of them do because they're franchises and they're assholes, I end up getting like a little bit irate, don't I? And then you have to defuse the situation. You have to be like, calm down, babe. It's just chicken and chips. So I'll be like, but it's not chicken and chips.
Do you think a little bit of that comes from, because I've actually had a conversation about that with my dad, yeah? So when he was with my mum, there was a lot of situations that...
Well, she got angry.
Where she got angry, yeah? And he told me... I'm just saying, not like making any sort of whatever. Why? Who's calling your phone?
Your dad.
My dad.
Yeah, you speak to your dad quick.
My dad's going
to
be on the phone.
We've got his dad on the phone.
Hello, dad.
The microphone.
Hello.
Are you okay, Blake?
Yeah, you?
You all right?
Yeah. We're in the podcast now. Would you like to say hello on the mic?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, say hello.
All right.
Hi,
hello.
Okay, yeah. So what's...
I'm in a pub somewhere. It's a bit loud here.
You're in a pub.
You're in a pub.
It's down a pub.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is it would be better if I just talk to you and you ask me...
Go on, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, do it now. Yeah, do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Shall we do it now?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're on the phone. As you know, we're on the phone to my dad, Pete. His name's called Kweku. Okay.
Kweku.
Yeah. So his name's called Kweku.
That's what I always find funny as well. The English names.
That's another cultural thing as well. So a cultural thing is names, is pronunciation. So how do you say my name, babe?
Pete.
No, my name, not my
Blake
dad's name.
Blake
Antwi. Blake Antwi. So I've had to teach her how to say my name is Blake Entry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake Entry. And then this is Kweku.
Kweku.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, but I just feel rude putting the accent on. Because I feel like, you know, when you try and impersonate a French person and it's really offensive, I don't want to do that while I'm trying to do your name. So I'll just say Antwi.
Yeah, but it's better for us to hear our name properly, though.
Okay. All yeah. Right, then.
So, okay.
So I've been offending you for 4 years. Fine.
So we're on the phone to my dad at the moment. We're just going to go through sort of like issues. Have I said that already? Yeah. Okay, I forgot myself, right? Okay, what experience have you, positively, what experiences have you had being in an interracial relationship?
Yeah, the positive aspect was, you know, me coming from a different a country and meeting indigenous person here, it did allow me.
Indigenous. I love that word.
Indigenous. What does that mean?
Yeah.
No, it means like person from your country.
Oh.
This country.
Oh, okay,
word,
okay. Oh, okay. It's a word. Okay.
Yeah. It did help me to learn more about the culture so quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, there are lots of things that I learned about the English culture. Very, very quickly because I started living with your mom and her family right from the beginning.
Mm.
So they taught me a lot.
Got your passport.
So quickly. And lots of things that my peers did not know.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you can learn.
I knew what loo was before any person from Ghana.
Well, you know what a loo was? A loo. A toilet.
Like loo roll. That's hilarious. So you learnt the slang.
Oh, you learnt the slang. Oh, that's, you learnt the slang.
The slang, like the real English language.
Yeah.
I knew what if somebody says, like, hey, Kweku, I got both to pick with you.
Yeah,
he loves saying that now.
Do you know what though? That's one thing I will say about Pete is
hang on, 2 seconds. Let T talk quick.
Sometimes when you say phrases to Blake and to his dad, so it can be like, what's the loaf of bread one?
So when me and T get in an argument, yeah, I do this.
What's the saying?
You think I'm the worst thing since sliced bread. I thought that was a saying, but it makes sense though.
You think I'm the worst thing since sliced bread. And obviously the saying is as good as
the best thing since sliced bread.
But he's like, every time I teach him like an English saying, like he will make it into something different without meaning to, like he'll get it wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so what's another positive then that you would say being in an interracial relationship?
Lots of positive things because I was always with your mom and your grandmother and your aunties. I got used to being around English people.
Mm.
You know, I didn't feel too nervous being around them. I didn't feel isolated, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. What about negatives then? Because it's different now. It's different now, isn't it? Now 2024 is different. But back in your day, it was obviously like early days, isn't it, for being in a interracial relationship. So what experiences did you go through?
I mean, the negative thing.
Yeah.
I was very comfortable around your mom and her family, and that whenever you are on your own in the different environment, you start looking around to see if you are accepted.
Mm.
Like what I've been used to with your mom and her family.
Mm. Yeah, no, she wouldn't really go through that anymore, would it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry.
No, we don't.
Did you ever experience any social like negativity towards the relationship, like in social situations or anything like that?
Sorry.
Did you ever experience any social kind of experiences, like any negative social sort of like experiences? Like comments or things like that?
Because we live in London.
London's a lot more mixed, right?
I didn't experience any racial abuse in London at all.
You're lucky then.
I would say if at all, it would be around here since we moved here. But not in London.
Oh, okay.
London's so much more diverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've always felt included.
That's good.
That's good.
It's been always fine in London for me. So I don't have any negative experience racially in London at all.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Is it plantain or plantain?
Plantain.
Yes, plantain. Thank you. Yeah, you're Jamaicans.
Right, we need to go now.
Well, okay, we need to go now. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye. Right, bye. Bye. Yeah, sayings, puns.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get... He doesn't understand the puns, and then you don't understand the puns either from being growing up with your dad predominantly, because obviously you grew up mostly with your dad, didn't you? So yeah, when I say things like trying to get blood out of a stone, he is like trying to get blood out of a stone, quite literally, because he doesn't understand the phrases behind it. And I have to really break it down to him.
So
I've sort of like, if the shoe was on the other foot, you know, things like that. And he'll be like,
I'm visually trying to see a shoe on the other foot.
And then I can imagine his dad trying to work out like the shoes on the other foot. I can't do the accent.
The shoes on the other foot.
Don't do the accent. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't suppose. Yeah. I mean, in 2024, I think it's so much more diverse as a society, so much more acceptance, so much more like talk about racism, so much more education behind equal rights and things like that, which makes it much more easier and a much more comfortable situation to have, you know, to have interracial relationships. I did have a situation once in my salon, actually, and we haven't got long left on this recording, but I had a lady that was working for me doing lashes, and she was a white lady, and she had three mixed race children. And I had someone come to have their eyelashes done. And whilst she was having her eyelashes done, they were talking about their kids. So they were showing each other pictures of their kids. The next day, the lady come in and she'd come in and she said, all of my eyelashes are falling out and I want to put a complaint in. And not only did she do that, she put all over social media about this, what had happened. And you could see the woman had actually pulled her own eyelashes off. So she'd pulled out these eyelash extensions with her own lashes involved as well. And after doing a little bit of research about this woman, we actually found out that she was a white supremacist and her dad had actually been imprisoned through white supremacy, through violence.
Oh.
That was a shock to my system in this day and age. That was probably only about 7 years ago. That was a shock to my system of the extent that someone could go to just because she'd obviously seen the pictures of the children and realised that she was, you know, that she'd had black children. And she went out to try and completely ruin our reputation of our salon just based on a photograph of children. And I was like, wow, that is some pure like hatred. And, you know, and then we sort of went to the police and they were like, oh, there's nothing we can do. And we had no support in that situation at all. And I was, I think I was quite taken back by that and sort of thought, wow, I didn't realise that actually there's people out there that still do exist and still do these horrible things. I mean, in football particularly, it's quite a lot of coverage of like the football hooliganism and the racism there. But day to day, I don't experience anything day to day. But one thing I will say is when I feel like we were in the spa the other week, you weren't there actually, you were at work, and I was in the jacuzzi and there was a group of white males, all in the jacuzzi, and they started being openly racist in front of me. And I felt so uncomfortable. I just went, I just got up and said, "You're all disgusting." And I walked out of the jacuzzi. But I thought, just because I'm sat here as a white woman doesn't mean you can sit there and talk about that sort of stuff, regardless if I'm in an interracial relationship or not. No one has right to sit there and put down people and think that they can just openly talk like that. Mm. It's just not acceptable. But yeah, I'd say that that's probably like the only two big experiences I've had, but still like quite shocking really in this day.
You know, something actually just came to my head though about, let's say we had a kid, yeah? And it was a girl.
Yeah.
Would you know what to do with her hair?
No, but I do know people that do know what to do with their hair. And I think that's one thing that I've got friends with mixed race children. And
the only reason I asked that, because that can be a challenge, because black.
Yeah, but I think it's so much more accepted now. There's so many more children that are mixed race that actually I've got white friends that know how to do it, that have learnt from their black sisters and sisters-in-laws. And it's passed down as like a thing. Mm. Throughout, you know, your families and your friends and your communities. So I don't think that would be a challenge at all. The challenge is being a parent again and having to deal with you being a parent as well.
Because I need parenting still, don't I? I need parenting still.
No, not really. You're all right. You're good, you are. There was something else I was actually going to say just quickly, but I can't remember what it was. And I'm absolutely dying for a wee.
You need a wee wee.
I need a wee wee. All right, we'd better go anyway. Fancy a bang?
Yeah, go on, Em.
All right, sweet. Bye.